Let's open this evening by singing in our brown hymnal, number 300, Thou Thinkest, Lord, of Me. Let's sing that together, shall we? Brown Book, page 300. A few of us had a nice time out on the boat ride this evening. It was beautiful out on the lake. If you didn't go, you missed it. It was a really, really nice time. The reason I mention it is not to make you feel bad that you didn't go, but as we went down towards the end of the lake, and that actually wasn't the reason I sang this song, but as I looked at it, I went, oh, lo and behold, look at this. We saw, at least according to Brother Tom, we saw the house where this song was probably composed. Edmund S. Lorenz, who lived down the other end of Brant Lake. Little did he know that a short time later, at the other end of the lake, there would be a group of people singing his songs that he wrote to the Lord. Thou thinkest, Lord, of me. Isn't that marvelous that God thinks about us? He not only knows your name, but he thinks about you too. You know, there are a lot of names that we know, a lot of famous people. You hear their names all the time, but you don't think about them all the time. Maybe once in a while you may hear about them in the newspaper or something like that, but you don't always think about them, even though you know the name. But God not only knows your name, as we began with Monday night, but he thinks about you. He thinks about you all the time. He can't get you off his mind. He can't. Just like that person you saw, or maybe you've seen, and you just can't get them off your mind for one reason or another. I hope it's a good thing. But God is like that. God is like that. He just can't get you off his mind. He thinks about you all the time. And isn't that marvelous? Isn't that encouraging that God is thinking about me? Brother Tom told us that the story goes that he would compose, Edmund Lorenz would compose his music down in the boathouse that was right along the shore. He had a pump organ there, and people would often just kind of park their boats down that end and listen as he would play these songs and these melodies that would come to him and these words that God would inspire from him. And I wonder if one day there wasn't somebody sitting out there in their boat and all of a sudden they heard, Thou thinkest, Lord, of me. Wonder what they thought when they heard that, huh? Maybe they were surprised. I hope it struck somebody's heart, spoke to their heart. But that was amazing. You know, and as we walk around, as we look at God's creation, you know, it's amazing that as we think, and if our ears are and our soul is in tune, perhaps the Lord will say, I'm thinking about you. It's God who created all of these things. He's thinking about me. He knows me. He's remembering me. And he's working for me. And he's working in me. So I just want to encourage you this evening. God is thinking about you. He's thinking about you. He knows all about you. And isn't it something, if you remember back what we've been, some of the things we've been talking about, that not only are we praying, but he is making intercession for us. He doesn't just think about you, but he's actively praying for you. He is actively working on you, in you, for you, making you what he wants you to become, his masterpiece. That's encouraging. It's encouraging to me. And you know what other thought came to me as we were praying this morning? I thought, I just want to share this with the folks this evening, that when we pray, you know what we're doing? We're not asking God to do something unusual. We're not asking him to act out of character. Well, Lord, I know you're usually this way, but maybe this time, you know, have you ever done that with your parents or with somebody? You know, Mom and Dad, I know you usually say this or you usually, but do you think maybe just this time you could maybe do it this way or we could come to this agreement? When we pray to our Father, we're not doing that. We're not trying to get him to make an exception, to maybe do something out of his character. We are actually appealing to his character. When we claim his promises, when we believe him, when we trust him, like Abraham did this morning when he believed the Lord and God counted it unto him as righteousness, we are simply appealing to who he is. We're saying, God, we know that this is who you are. This is what you do. This is your name. And that is what we are standing upon. That is what we are believing you for. That is what we are resting our faith, our trust in. And I was just encouraged this morning as we were praying. That thought just kind of rolled through my mind. We're not asking anything unusual. We're just simply asking God to be God. For God to be who he is. To do what he does. It's nothing weird. It's nothing unusual. Nothing out of character. It's simply who he is. And I'm glad for that tonight. And so if you have a need, if you've come to camp with a request, with something on your heart, rest in him. Rest in his character. Rest in his qualities. Rest in his names. Perhaps one of these names that we'll look at throughout this week will speak right to that need that you have. Rest in it. It's who he is. It's what he does. He can do no other. This is how he operates. And the Word of God tells us that. And I'm glad that that God is thinking about me. And he's thinking about you. My question to you this evening is, do you ever think about him?
Yes.
Do you think about him? Does he ever cross your mind? You know, in our Bible studies on Wednesday night, we're studying the Minor Prophets. Whew. That's some tough stuff, those of you who know the Minor Prophets. If you never read some of those Minor Prophets, those little shorter books toward the end of the Old Testament, if you want a good scare, read them. Read God telling his people the judgment that's coming upon them. But you know, in every one of those books, there's such harsh judgments. And God says, this is coming. This is on coming down the road. This is what is going to happen to you. But every time, God offers them hope. He offers them hope. He offers them a way of escape. And in one of the books, the name just escapes me at the moment, but in one of them, he actually says to them, if you will just simply consider me. That's it. He doesn't tell them if you turn away, if you have this great national reform, if you hold a nationwide fast of repentance and sackcloth and ashes. No, he says, if you'll just consider me, if you'll just even think about me, tells you where they were at. Told you that they just went their way and just never gave him the time of day. Never even considered him. And all the time, he was thinking about them. If you will consider me, the Lord says, how about tonight we consider him? Shall we consider him tonight? Shall we think about him this evening? Shall we turn our attention to him, the one who thinks of us constantly? Let's turn our attention to him. Let's see him with eyes of faith. With the eyes of our soul. And let's tell him what he really means to us. There's a song that Brother Paul was playing before the service that was very precious to my mom and dad. Oh, I don't even know how many years ago it was now. Talk about doing the math, Sister Hofflander. But it was 1987 when my sister, on the eve of her senior year in high school, had a massive brain aneurysm. And God spared her life. She still carries the scars of that event to this day. But God spared her. And during that first day, when we did not know whether she would live or die, actually, on two separate occasions, a doctor told us to begin making arrangements for her funeral. I can't even tell you the songs we were going to sing till this day. We actually began to make arrangements. But God chose to spare her in his sovereignty. El Elyon, the Most High, you know. Now, he's the Most High. He's in charge. But after she was first struck, she rushed into emergency surgery, so much blood just poisoned that whole, I guess it was the left side of her brain. And after she was at least stabilized, they thought, for the moment, there were no guarantees of life or death. After having been there for, I don't know, a day and a half or so, my mom and dad decided finally, there were others who had come, others who were there, they decided they would run home. For a little bit, they had been called to the hospital, had gone in the middle of the night, literally, you know, jumped out of bed and went down, so they really weren't particularly prepared to be there for a long time. So they went back home, just cleaned up a little bit, get some clothes, change, and of course go right back down to the hospital where my sister was lying in a comatose condition. And you know what they did as they drove home? I know what you think they would have done. I know what I would have done. I'd have been praying. I'd have been praying, God, spare my daughter, spare my daughter, spare my daughter. But you know what they did? They did something very unusual, and I believe God inspired it in their hearts. Together, as they drove home, they sang a song. And I know what song you think it was. Maybe The Healer. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. Surely he bore our sorrows, and by his stripes we are healed. We're going to look at that name for God. And it's a good one, and it's a great one. And perhaps there are many here who can use a touch from God in their physical bodies. But that's not what they sang. You know what they sang? Probably never guess in a million years. You know what they sang together as they drove home, not knowing whether my sister would live or die? They sang, "For he is so precious to me." That's something, isn't it? I'm to this day moved when I hear that. Because later on, I asked my mom about this. I said, why that song? Now, I wasn't giving her a hard time. It wasn't, you know, what made you pick? You know, I just asked her, what do you think? What was up with that song? Why do you think God, the Lord brought that, or that was inspired in you? And you know what she told me? She said, we wanted the Lord to know that whether Essie lived or died, he was still precious to us. Like Job, the Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And so as Brother Paul was playing that song before the service, and I was thinking about the fact that God is always thinking about us, how about us? What are our thoughts toward him? And I think that this is a marvelous one. So let's turn together also in the Brown Book to page 461. He is so precious to me. And I ask you this question. Is he precious to you? Is he precious? Yeah. If he is, sing this song with all your heart. And if he's not, pray it as a prayer that he will reveal himself to you and he will become precious to you. Let's sing it together. We'll sing the first verse all together.
So precious is Jesus, my Savior, my King, my praise all the day long with rapture I sing. To him in my weakness, for strength I can cling. For he is so precious to me. For he is so precious to me.
Sing the second verse for us, would you please?
He stood at my heart's door in sunshine and rain, and patiently waited an entrance to gain. What shame that so long he entreated in vain, for he is so precious to me.
Together, let's sing it.
For he is so precious to me. For he is so precious to me. Tis heaven below, my Redeemer to know. For he is so precious to me.
All together on the third.
I stand on the mountain of blessing at last. No cloud in the heavens, the shadow to cast. His smile is upon me, the valley is past. For he is so precious to me. For he is so precious to me. For he is so precious to me. Tis heaven below, my Redeemer to know. He is so precious to me.
Now, everyone who has that great hope that one day you are going to see him face to face, let's sing the fourth verse all together.
I praise him because he appointed a place where someday through faith in his wonderful grace, I know I shall see. Shall look on his face, for he is so precious to me.
wasn't until comparatively recently that I wondered, how could the Lord be thinking of me? How could he care about me? How could he show me his will? And as I say, in the last couple of years, it became very clear to me that that's not such a hard job. When the Bible speaks, and I know I've said this before here at camp, the Bible speaks about him knowing every hair on our head, but every sparrow that falls. And I dare say, I bet, of course I don't bet, but I'm sure he knows every pine needle, every leaf on every tree. Not that he goes, you know, counting them. He just knows it. That's God.
Yes.
God is all-knowing. And once you can put your teeth around that, it's not so hard that he knows every individual person. And I'm thankful for that, that he thinks of you individually, me individually. And the Bible says that. So I'm so thankful for that. If there's anyone that in here that doubts, how can God know us personally? It's not beyond God. God is all powerful.
That's right.
And I'm thankful for that.
Amen. Amen.
Lord, I pray that every young person in this room tonight will have a personal experience with you.
Yes.
A real personal encounter where he or she realizes that God loves them. God loves him or her.
Yes.
We know that that's your desire, oh Lord. We pray that you would do a mighty work. And plus, all the ones too. Help us to realize more how much you love us. And care for us.
Yes.
And I'm interested in every aspect of our lives.
Yes. Thank you, Lord.